Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm author and publisher Tracy L. Flatten. It's my belief that the most interesting, creative, and original voices today are heard outside of the big corporations, studios, and galleries. Individuals of courage, inspiration, and vision are seizing the opportunities to create and promote their art themselves. I'm here to support them and to bring their stories to you. On this show, I'll interview independent artists of all kinds, unusual thinkers, and even some healers about their process. How do they do it? How do they start with an idea and bring it to life in the world? This show intends to illuminate the journey. Feel free to call in to 516-453-6052 with questions or live chat with me at blogtalkradio.com/independentartiststhinkers. Great to have you with us. Hi, this is Tracy Slatton, hosting Independent Artists and Thinkers, and I am so happy to welcome you to the show today. We have a great show lined up for you, and I'm really grateful and humbled that so many people are listening to this show, and I'm getting nice emails and comments from people, so thanks for tuning in, and thanks for listening in the archives. Really glad to have you. I created this show to support those brave souls who are operating outside the structures of the big established corporations. As the intro to the show says, I intend to illuminate the unusual journey and to bring it to you. I'm interested in alternatives to conventional thinking and conventional answers. So please do call in with questions or comments, 516-453-6052. You can also live chat me at blogtalkradio.com/independentartistthinkers. In the coming weeks, some great guests are coming on. Next week on June 4th, we'll welcome Tracy Gray, who's the founder and president of the Sankofa Global Project, which is an organization, an educational organization that supports underrepresented students by introducing and supporting them as they venture into the fields of science, technology, engineering, art, and math. So go Tracy. On June 18th at 1 p.m., Desiree Watson of Wellness International will talk about the wellness lifestyle, also an amazing work. And on June 25th, Marnie Galloway, a comic artist and illustrator, will talk about the graphic novel. Very cool. So tune in and keep checking the website, independentartistthinkers.com, and the Blog Talk Radio page to find out who will be on the show. I am so delighted today to have a longtime friend, an actor and producer, Alexis Suarez, on the show. And he's going to talk about some of my favorite qualities, but that are also, I think, the most difficult to inculcate, and that's patience, practice, and persistence. And Alexis Suarez is an actor and a producer known for Thanks for Sharing in 2012, Caught 2011, and The Second District 2011. He's appeared in numerous primetime and cable roles, including Madam Secretary and HBO's Girls. Born and raised in New York City, Alexis has been actively performing for over a decade and producing for almost a decade. He is currently represented by Block and is a member of both AFTRA and SAG. Alexis, welcome, and thanks for being on the show.
How you doing, Tracy? I'm very happy to be here, and thank you again for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for agreeing to be on. And I just want, you know, these are listeners, so they can't see that you're absolutely gorgeous and you're incredibly talented. And I'm so happy to have you. I've known you a long time.
Yeah.
And so I've been sort of following your career in the background, you know, mostly watching you on Facebook where people can find you. But also from time to time, we bump into each other in the street and we chat and we talk. So I'm really happy to have this time to talk. And I want to start off with how you began your journey. And as an actor, what has it taken for you to arrive at the place where you are currently? What training did you have? When did you know you were going to be an actor? And you can go back, you know, as far back as you want, when you were 2 years old, whatever.
Okay.
Just start at the beginning and start going.
Okay. Well, I was, you know, born and raised here in New York City, as you mentioned earlier. Yeah, it was. I always had an affinity to perform. You know, like I guess I never realized it as a kid, but I actually did a lot of community theater stuff in school, and I was part of the local church here, Holy Name Church on 96th Street. And so, you know, I was always in front of people, you know, doing, you know, the mass, an altar boy. I was a, you know, and the good little boy at the church,
I can see your halo.
right? And so I was never nervous being in front of, you know, a large crowd. And whenever I was on stage, it always felt natural to me. But it was never something that I thought of as like an actual professional career. So for the most part, when I was in high school, I just basically did a lot of sports. When I was grade school, same thing. I did, you know, just very active in different things. But it was really college when I first started to really look at it as a as something that was more than just, you know, a hobby.
Were you acting in college?
I was acting in college. I started off in my sophomore year. Long time ago now. I know you say I've been performing 10 years plus, but it's actually been over 20 years now, at least 20 that I've been actually like,
Wow.
yeah, it's been a while. But that's when I first, like, you know, I literally took an acting course just to get an easy grade because I knew it was something that wasn't going to be difficult for me. And then I just realized I was starting to fall in love with the process again. My degrees are not acting related. I have a psych degree, BA in psychology, and a sports psychology degree, a master's. Within all that time, I was always performing.
Well, remind me later to ask you if psychology, having those degrees, helps in creating a character, you know, when you're going to act. But keep talking about how you became an actor, how you got to this point, and your training.
Absolutely. Yeah, basically, you know, college training, it was, you know, very, you know, acting basics 101. And just me gaining more experience on stage is where I got my real, you know, in-depth, like, you know, technique training in terms of like performing in front of an audience. You know, all that, you know, all that stuff. I think the crisis point for me, like where I actually made the decision to become a professional actor, and it's actually you're involved in this story indirectly. Yeah, I know this is. So Tracy didn't tell you. I also work as a personal trainer. That's been my daytime job, so I can continue pursuing my career. And I was actually.
And I used to be in really good shape because of it.
I was training Tracy. Actually, this was back in '99. And at the time, I hadn't performed for almost a year, so I was going into a bit of a depression and didn't realize like what it was. And so while I was training you during that time, I ended up having a panic attack. You didn't know this, but I
No.
was like, I finished training you.
Yeah, I never saw you. I never saw anything. You
Yeah,
were already acting.
I was right. Yeah, this was a big acting moment right here because I just didn't want to freak her out that I was like thinking that I was going to have a heart attack or something. So I basically was going through what I thought was a heart attack. I finished training Tracy. I called my mom. I'm like, Mom, I'm dying. I don't know what's going on. So she sends me to the doc to her doctor on the east side, and I go see the guy. He checks me out, and he just tells me flat. He's like, you had a panic attack. And it was at that moment that I realized that.
Okay, what about me made you panic? Come
No,
on.
it wasn't you. No, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. So the doctor basically said I had a panic attack, and it was in that moment that I realized that I was depressed because I wasn't performing. And that's how I realized I'm like, if I'm going to do this now, I have to change my entire life and take the steps necessary to become a professional. So that's, you know, that's basically it in a nutshell as to what inspired me or what like provoked me to finally pursue this career.
Well, I do think sometimes our life will be very drastic and something health will do, get our attention that something's out of balance. And I'm also going to try not to be neurotic about this and think that I terrified you somehow.
No, definitely didn't terrify me.
Were you sitting in the doctor's office when you had that realization?
I was in the doc. Yeah, he had just finished. And it was funny because he had put me on a treadmill, so I thought I was definitely going to die now. I'm like, oh great, this is not going to be good. But he just checked me out. He said my heart was fine, everything, my vitals were all normal. But that's basically what the diagnosis was, and that was my eureka moment of like, wow, I got to get my shit together. I got to, you know, stop what I'm doing and really pursue, you know, my dream, you know, what was truly my passion, that was performing.
So that's a wonderful story, even if I wasn't in it. And I just want to ask, so what was the next step? So the light bulb goes on over your head. What was the next step? Well, you walked out of his office. What did you do then?
I think it was that week where I changed my entire training because I was training people close to six to seven days a week, like pretty hardcore, like morning till night. I changed my schedule completely, took a quick vacation to South Beach for like 4 days just on my own, just to kind of get out and, you know, unplug. I had a lot, that's another crazy story there. But, you know, went to South Beach, had a great time, came back, and I immediately enrolled in a grad school program out in the Midwest in Illinois. And it was for a sports psychology degree, but they allowed me to work with the MFA department. So I knew that in order for me to become a professional, I had to build, I didn't have enough skills. So I needed to get more technique training, work with, you know, actors that were really there for that, and just build up my confidence so that when I came back to New York, I was going to be, I would have the tools necessary to really pursue it.
That's a great story. And I love the way you were thinking long term and you were thinking, how do I get the tools to do this?
Right.
And so tell me more about which, you know, what kind of acting you did while you were there, also getting the degree in sports psychology, what roles you played, that kind of thing.
Okay. So this was, I was in a great town, Macomb, Illinois. And it's literally, I mean, 4 hours south of Chicago. I was in the fields. Like, it's there's nothing out there. And just, it was, I did a lot of theater. And it was, that was basically where my, that's where I developed my base in terms of, like, you know, my training technique. My confidence in terms of how to be presentational, how to perform a character, how to get all those things that I needed to to develop in order to come back to New York and really work on those skills. I played a variety of roles. I was, you know, competing with the students out there, the acting students out there for their roles. So it just got me on my grind. You know, it was one of those things where I wasn't too concerned about like not being a part of the program. I just knew that if I went in and hustled hard and auditioned, you know, constantly, I was going to end up getting roles. And I basically was like a Terminator there. I'm like, I did not care like what was going on. I'm like, I went in there with a specific agenda. I'm going to get some roles on these stages and I'm going to, you know, perform the way I need to perform. You know, so it was a great experience. I learned a lot. I'm very grateful to all the actors and the directors that I worked with.
Did you have any specific teachers who really helped with the acting?
Yes. Sonny Bell was one. There was Gene Kozlowski and Egla Hassan. I'm going to forget a few names. I apologize for forgetting a few people. But, yeah, those are the main three that I predominantly worked with in order to build my technique. And then the students that were there, the friends that I made, they were very accomplished and very talented. So I was in a group where it taught me to be competitive in a way where it upped my game, you know. And it's something that you always hear about with entrepreneurs or with, you know, even writers, or, you know, depending on like what it is that your focus is on, that you always want to work in an environment where the people are better than you.
I always try to surround myself with betters. That's
right.
What I tell that to myself all the time.
Absolutely. And it was, you know, that's where I felt I knew that I was really going to develop, you know. And that was one of the main things that, in terms of being at Western Illinois, where I like really, my confidence just started to grow. And when I left that program, I came back to New York like ready to rock.
Wow.
You know?
That's a great story. And just thinking back about those three teachers that you mentioned, was there any one specific piece of advice that any of them gave you that has stayed with you? If not, that's fine. But if there's something that one of them may have mentioned, or something even that crystallized it while you were acting on stage, there you are, you're a sports psychology grad student, and you're acting and you're competing with the acting students for the roles, and you're getting roles. So was there one thing that crystallized or one statement that one of those teachers said?
They all had great things. There's actually a teacher that I forgot to mention, Ken Elston, great director. He would always say stuff that was always make me laugh. But he said he would give, his notes would be to suck less. And for me, I always just found that was just a great way to like just to talk to the actors and just so, you know, you're having fun, keep working hard, you know, and just, you know, focus on what you need to be doing. And just that sometimes that note always sticks in my head. You know, like even when I'm doing my own, so like, all right, suck less. All right, I can get this, you know. But yeah, they all had great advice. I can't think of one other specific thing, but everything they said to me was basically a gold mine. You know?
That reminds me, a literary agent was once telling me a story about when he overheard an editor say to a writer, fix it, make it better. And I always think about that with my own work. So, This is the journey where you had this sort of eureka moment,
right,
and then changed your life completely over the next week, went off to school in the Midwest at a program where you could do acting while also getting your sports psychology mm-hmm. degree. And so now you've been acting. And so I want to ask about what's the most fun role you've ever played and why?
Oh, wow. The most fun role. They're all fun. I got one. Something that I produced called Yitzi. It's the story of, and I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it's on my 3P's website. It's basically the story of an actor who discovers on the day of a major casting that he has a baby. And so basically it's his
He didn't know about this baby.
He did not know about this baby.
Ooh, good story. Yeah. All my story instincts are flying now.
He basically has to take his child to this audition with him and hopefully try to score this big thing that will change his career. And that was just working with a baby was probably one of the best things that I've ever done. Just because this child at the time, Makoa Jablonski, 10 months old, completely did not look at the camera, was completely in every scene. You know, it was just one of those like we were blessed that they didn't cry. Nothing, was engaged in everything. He just I had fun with him, you know. So it was one of the. But you, I'll give the website out later. I'll give you the links.
Well,
you guys
go ahead
the link.
And say the website again. Now.
The website is 3psproductions.org. That's 3psproductions.org. And the film, the short film, is called Yitzi.
Who wrote it?
My producing partner, my business partner, David Tianga.
Okay, I like his story ideas. So have you ever played any challenging roles? Did you ever have difficulty turning yourself into a character, and what was the challenge?
Okay. I would say there were two roles that were pretty challenging. I had to play a gay character for a film called Whirlwind.
Yeah, I'm really clear you're not gay. And I just from looking at you.
That's okay. That's no problem.
I'm not actually flirting with you.
She's flirting with me.
I'm not.
Directed by the great Richard LeMay, is a good friend of mine, and it was a tough. I'll tell you what was tough about the character. It wasn't playing a gay character. It was more playing a guy who was in a relationship, and at the time I was like anti-relationship. So for me, like I had to really like. Jump the fence and really get into the mode of someone who was in a relationship, in love, and like trying to achieve these goals and have all these obstacles come at him. It was a great film that I worked on, and I was very grateful to have worked with all the cast and crew and the director at that time. I think the most difficult was playing a domestic abuser, and that was it was actually for a women's group. We were contracted out to make a film that was basically helping women identify signs of a domestic abuser and what to do about that situation.
Is castration a possibility, or
It could be?
No, I'm just joking.
So that was probably the more difficult one, because it was one of those things where. In order for me to get to that place, and thank God for the actress, I had to get pretty violent in certain, scenarios, and the director actually gave me this great note, because when I was doing it, I was very tentative, and I was like trying to be careful when it came to like the violent, aggressive scenes. And
did you have to hit her?
I get pretty close, but basically manhandling her. And she was this small girl, and I was just like, oh God, I'm gonna kill this woman. I'm like, I don't wanna, I was trying to like fake it, and like make it look dramatic. And the director basically told me, if you don't go all the way, it's not going to be real. And I realized that I had to do that in order for the women who are watching to see the extent of where something can go. And I wanted to be able to help them identify problems that I'm sure that they see all the time, and be able to hopefully walk away, or find help in a situation. So I would say that after that, it took me a couple of days to like unplug, because you're in that, and that did something that I realized when you hear actors talk about, I'm in that character, it's in my body. And that was one of the first times where I realized that there was something that was in my body that I like, it just took a day or so for me to like get out of that, you know, frame of mind. So it was that was probably the most difficult thing, but it was a great learning lesson for me.
So I, because I've known you for a long time, I know that you're an amazingly good son and amazingly kind human being. So I'm wondering if you had to find a domestic abuser in yourself or a piece of you that hated women enough to do that, or was it something you purely, like a hat you just put on? I mean, how do you create that kind of character?
Well, not to get super personal, but there has been domestic abuse in my family. So it was, you know, I didn't have too far to draw upon when it came to like certain, you know, moments of that. But, it, you know, it's one of those things where, like I say, every actor is playing. I feel that we all have these sides to ourselves, whether we acknowledge them or not. And it's one of those like where you have to acknowledge what it is and then, you know, use the process of working through that. And I feel for myself as an actor, I'm very grateful that I can perform and get out any demons that might be, you know, existing, and it just helps me, you know, work through things if it's there.
So is it cathartic for you? Do you exercise this internal demon, the shadow we all have of the domestic abuser?
I feel it does, you know, to acknowledging that you do have the potential to go there, you know, and I know that I'm not going to go there, but the potential is there, and it's better to acknowledge than deny something like that. You always find that when people deny things like that, that's when they act out. Mm-hmm. That's when they really, like, you know, explode.
Absolutely true.
You know, so it's one of those things where, like, and thankfully, that's where the psychology and, you know, my degrees, like, have helped me realize those things where I can, it's better to acknowledge, you know, especially if you're dealing with people and, you know, acknowledge the things that might be, you know, stressing you or that you might be afraid of, and that will help you deal with it properly.
So do you, because of your acting, do you have a practice of kind of constantly tuning into yourself to see where you are?
I would say I do. I'm always checking myself to see where I'm at. I guess for the amount of time that I've been performing, I always try to improve upon my skills and just try to be aware of like how I can grow better as a person. You know, and I think my performing has helped me to do that, you know, to find the different sides of myself that I can work on improving in terms of communication skills, in terms of, you know, physical, you know, ability, and just all those things. I try to be aware of it and try to educate myself as much as possible with, you know, books and just trying to, like, get myself, you know, to a different mental state.
What about those personal demons? What about that shadow side? I mean, are you someone who looks at your shadow side and kind of examines yourself, you know, partly to benefit your craft?
I think we all do.
I'm going to disagree with you, Alexis, even though you're smart, wonderful, and gorgeous, because I think a lot of people want to be in denial, and I think a lot of people don't want to own their own shadow. I think people are unwilling to say, yeah, there's a domestic abuser in me.
Right. Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I try to embrace all that if I can, you know, and you're right. There are a lot of people that I like to deny things, then that's when they, you know, that's when the things come out. That's when it always comes out, usually. Like, you can't usually hide those things.
So do you think there's a role you couldn't play because you wouldn't be able to go there? Like, I don't know, a mass murderer or something? Could we put a mustache on you and make you Hitler? I mean...
It all depends on how it's written. I believe I can go there. It all depends on the director. It all depends on where I'm at. You know, if I even got that opportunity to audition for something that's crazy like that. But yeah, there would be, you know, I've played rapists. You know, it's not an easy thing. That's, you know, stuff like that. It's, you know, I have to kind of like tune out, you know, and not think so much. I guess I want to say personalize it so much, you know, that I'm like, oh my God, I am this person. Like sometimes you have to separate yourself from that in terms of, and stick to what the story or what the scene is, you know, asking of you, you know, and making sure they're telling the truth of the scene. That's basically my goal, whatever role that I play, is to try to tell the truth of the scene.
And when I write, I'm always trying to tell the truth of the story and the truth of the characters.
Right. I don't know if that answers your question. I think
Well, I was asking if there's a role you couldn't play. Like if a director, say a director you liked, handed you a script and you would have to be a pedophilic murderer, could you do it?
That's a tough one. But yeah, I could do it. I would have to do the research of it and like really work on the different aspects of that character and how a person got to that state, or if it was always in them. So that would be more the challenge, like figuring out how the mind works in that sort of scenario. As long as I'm not like really physically abusing somebody on screen, then I'm fine, you know.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about.
Then, yeah, that's something else.
So this is something I'd written down, is what does it take inside you to be those people? How do you feel after playing them? Do they become part of you forever? Can you easily shuck them off? And I think you started sort of answering that, saying it takes you a few days to unplug, but can you talk more about that?
Yeah, I think with that, I think it was the domestic violence one that really set that off for me. So I have had a better process of like getting through stuff, you know, quickly. Yeah, I don't live in character or anything like that. So everything that I do is focusing on what I have to do for the moment. And then once I'm done, I try to let it go as quickly as possible. You know, it's the same as with like auditioning. You know, you go in, you know, you're excited about, you know, hopefully, you know, getting this particular role. As soon as it's done, you got to let it go. Because nowadays you just never know if you're going to get a call back, if something, you know, if you've got the role or not. So and this is something that all actors go through. The sooner you let it go, the better, and you can move on to the next, you know, thing.
Well, that's a good question, actually. How do you develop that kind of resilience? I know I've gotten turned down a gazillion. I mean, I can wallpaper my house with rejection letters from publishing companies, magazines, you name it. And I've just learned, I just say one word. I say next. And I don't even say bad or wrong, because that's even too much energy. But what's your process? How did you become so resilient?
It's a great question. It has not been easy. It's taken me years of just constantly auditioning and not personalizing it. And I think that's the hardest part, because a lot of times, you know, even today, even nowadays when I'm, you know, I've had a great audition, even if I don't get cast, I know it's not about my acting. I know it has nothing to do with my acting. I know that I went in there, I rocked it. I just maybe wasn't right for that particular part. I could have been shorter. There's a whole bunch of reasons that have nothing to do with me as to why I didn't get cast in that particular role.
But isn't it hard? Because I would think, I mean, you know, I have young actresses who babysit sometimes for us. And, you know, I would think I have people looking at you, judging, saying, too old, too young, too short, too tall, too thin, too fat, too, you know, not enough. Isn't that hard? And how do you deal with it?
It's, you know, it's one of those things where I tell people, even if you get, even, cause that's going to happen already. You're already going to be typecast. You're already going to be judged the second you walk in the door. What I say, if you rock that audition, or whatever, if you come in with such, you know, with the confidence that you've done your work, that you know you're easy to work with, the directors or the producers see that, they will call you back. And it's happened to me. I just booked something just recently where I went in for a different role, but because I wasn't right for that role, but because I had a great audition, they cast me in something else. You know, and that's one thing that I realized. Like, sometimes the roles can be changed for you. I've done stuff where they had, you know, they were looking for a Caucasian character. I'm Dominican. I'm Latino. And they changed the role to fit me because of the way I auditioned for that particular role. So, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you have to maintain the faith. You have to stay supremely positive, you know, and just keep working your craft, you know, and things will turn out. You know, some things you might miss, some things you will hit, but you have to always go in strong.
So I have to ask, how did you develop this kind of stoic kind of detachment, because it's pretty remarkable?
I'm a very competitive person. You know, I hate to lose, and this is one of those things where, like, I have friends that are doing great, and I've been in environments where, like, I want to make sure that I'm going all out, that I know that I can have the stamina and the resilience to pull through, and that it's just another. There's another audition coming. There's another thing that's going to happen for me. You know, it took time. Quite simply, it was just the repetitiveness of auditioning. You know, just constantly being active.
Like, how many auditions do you think you've gone to?
Oh, my God. I mean, I've been doing this, Jesus. I mean, it's going to be 20 years, so it's been, a lot. I'm going to say thousands. I've gone through like a lot of stuff a lot of auditions and a lot of performing before I even got my agent. So there was like a whole process of stuff that I had to do way before I even got, you know, signed on by an agency, that I always try to tell people. It's a little different nowadays, but back when years ago, I was basically doing as much theater, as much, you know, independent film, any basically anything that was going to get me as much experience as possible. I just wanted to put my face in front of a camera and in front of people. And that's basically what I was doing. I was trying to stay as busy as I could every month, whether it was, you know, submitting, whether it was, you know, doing a independent film or doing a theater production. You know.
So you and I had talked before the interview that you might tell a story of how you got your agent?
Well, that was also a bit of a process. A lot of the things that an actor has to that we go through is basically our preparation, organizing ourselves so that we're positioning ourselves to be in the right place at hopefully the right time. And prior to getting my agency, I knew that I didn't have a reel, an actual like film reel that was, you know, legit. So I was basically doing a lot of independent film work just to build a reel that if I was presented with if an agent did present himself to me, they could see my reel and see that I was like a legit person, that I wasn't like, you know, just this wasn't a hobby. I got my particular agent, Jim Dale, actually the agency Block, my current agent is Jim Daly, it was kind of a roundabout where I worked on an independent film with a good friend of mine who was the lead actress in the film. Her agents came to see the film, and I had like two scenes in the movie. It was two comedic scenes, and they saw me, and basically they were like, "We don't have anybody like you in our crew. We'd love to set up an interview with you." So basically, it was just a combination of being, you know, working on an independent film, no pay, and you know, getting seen by my friend Dawn Noel, by her phenomenal actress, by her agents. And when I went to the agency, I already had my reel prepared. I had a website. I had all the stuff that they could use immediately to start sending me out. So there was no need for them to have to, like, groom me or to have to, like, get me to, you know, have material for them to use. So part of that was just being prepared up until that opportunity came, and then I was able to, you know, maximize it once the interviews, you know, for the agency and to sign for the agency came through.
All right, so I'm going to go back to your actual acting experience. These are great stories about how you got your agent. Sort of, you know, it's like
A roundabout.
It's a roundabout. Going to talk about this later in this, but I'll bring it up now.
Okay.
In the very first show I did for this, I interviewed Lori Bellalove, who's the artistic director and founder of the Isadora Duncan Dance Foundation,
okay.
and it's now, you know, she's been doing this for decades, and now suddenly there's lots and lots of requests all over the world. China recently came calling to the Isadora Duncan Foundation. So she said to me, "Tracy, you worked 20 years to be an overnight sensation," or something around that. So can you want to talk about that?
That's exactly right. Any actor that you see that all of a sudden has become very successful or is doing a lot of work, it's taken them years to even get to that point. So, like, if you look at I usually use IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. I love profiling, like, you know, name actors, and like, I like to see where their journey was. And even before they had that great big hit, if you look at their resume, majority of them, like 80%, were doing like the day player roles. They were cop number one. They were, you know, doctor three. They were, you know, they were the small roles that you would never think about.
I was recently watching Friends with my little daughter, and we saw Hugh Laurie on the plane, you know, when they're flying. Rachel was flying over to stop Ross's wedding in London, and there's Hugh Laurie in this tiny little bit role that he played beautifully that was hilarious.
That's where I found my inspiration, is when I see those kind of actors, like Hugh Laurie, who's a phenomenal, you know, award-winning actor, that they did their grind. They did the process of working constantly and staying in the loop and being busy in order to get those great opportunities. And I always try to tell people, like, even if it's a small role, it's not a small role. Every role is a great role. You know, even if it's one word, one line, you're presenting yourself and you're showing that you belong there on that screen or in front of on that stage. You know.
So tell me about 3Ps. Tell me about the philosophy and about the production company.
Okay, so 3Ps Productions was founded by myself and my great friend, producer, writer, director, David Tianga. And we formed the company back in 2003. And it's basically, you know, a film production theater. It started off as a theater company. And we were originally producing theater shows because that was where our strengths were. We didn't know anything about film. We didn't know, you know, what the process was to create, you know, short films or, you know, actual feature films. And we've been working together for the past over 10 years now. And the philosophy that we have is practice, patience, and persistence. And it's just one of those things where, like, just as I was just telling you, everything takes time, but you have to keep plugging away. Even if it's like on the little things, you have to work on the little things so that it becomes so that you're ready for when the opportunities come. And that's how we've built our model in terms of, like, you know, developing the theater shows that we've performed and presented to the public, the short films that you'll see on the website, and on the stuff that we have currently, you know, that we're currently hopefully we'll be able to work on in the future. If that answers your question.
That's a great answer. So basically, what I'm hearing from you is you did follow your inner intuitive lead, you know, the eureka moment. But after changing your life to follow your dream and follow that inner, you know, intuition that told you, I've got to change my life, then it takes patience, persistence.
Right. Absolutely.
Which one of those is hardest for you?
Patience. Because I want it now, but I realize that it's just, you know, my journey is going to be different from someone else's. So I have to just work on what I can control and then just keep plugging away.
And do you want to just tell people where they can find you on IMDb?
So you just have to type in my name, Alexis Suarez, and you'll see all my current, you know, film and television credits, and then you can see my reel that's on the bottom of the page. But that's where that's where my latest things have been coming up.
So what roles do you have upcoming?
I have a cop role.
I saw you, I think, last season twice, maybe, on Madam Secretary.
Yes, that was actually a lot of fun. It was directed by Eric Stoltz, so I was very excited to have worked with him and, you know, with Bebe Neuwirth and you know, the rest of the cast that were there.
That's a phenomenal cast. Great actors.
It's again. The type of cast, if you look at their resume, they've been working forever. They've been doing so much work before they became, you know, who they are. And that's, again, I was just inspiring just to be working with that kind of crew. And it was fun. I had a recurring role as one of their security guards, Tia Leone, her character, the main office where she works at, so, or the main building where she works. So I was one of the security guys from those episodes.
And so what else do you have upcoming?
I'm playing the captain of a baseball team, a Dominican baseball team. So that's coming up hopefully in a month or so. And then I just finished booking another feature where I'm working, I'm playing a cop. So that's it currently right now.
You're a cop a lot. Do you have cops in your family, or is this something that people just look at you and say, oh, he could be a cop?
This is one of the funniest things because there's no cops in my family. I have friends who are cops. But I started off my career playing criminals.
And domestic abusers.
And it's just one of those things where I'm like, I don't know how that switch happened, but I've played a lot of officers. Which I'm very grateful for. But it's just one of those funny things where, like, I started off playing criminals and now I'm like, I've gone to the other, you know, spectrum. But I've played a lot of diverse roles along with that.
And do you find when you walk in that the casting directors have already typecast you?
That's going to happen already. I mean, just from the way you look, you're going to get typecast. I think your job is to, depending on what the role is to hopefully try to fit the role, you know, or give them a different perspective on it when you walk into a door. But everyone gets typecast automatically. You know, I know I'm always going to be seen as either a super criminal or militaristic. It's going to be one of those. So
because of the way you're shaped and everything.
Yeah, usually because of the way of my build and the way, you know, sometimes, you know, just maybe just, you know, whatever their concept of an officer or a criminal, you know, may be. Depending on the roles that I'm auditioning for, I try to, you know, get as close to whatever that character, you know, is.
So what was your dream role?
Oh God, my dream role. Everything.
No. But say a writer. Say I came up with a script, or, you know, your writing partner, your, you know, production partner. Say someone came up. What is it? If you could design the role for you and be in almost every film, every scene in the movie, what would that be? What's your dream role?
Oh man, that's a damn, Tracy. That's a tough question. I think something that's complex. Something that shows that the character has range, whether it's like a comedic thing, whether it could be, you know, a blend of like action, you know, with dramatic, you know, impulses and comedic, you know, things. So I don't know how to narrow that down. I mean, I'm basically saying a superhero, but yeah, something where I can test my range as an actor.
Have you cried on screen? Do you want to? Can you?
If you hit me hard enough, yeah. I've gotten emotional on screen. I don't know if I've bawled.
Tears. Can you put tears down your face? Alexis, are you that good at acting?
If I need to, I will. But
if you're being paid?
If I'm being paid, yes, of course. I've done it on stage.
You have done it on stage.
Yeah, on stage. But on screen, I haven't had that opportunity just yet. But I know it will be coming. And now that you've said it, it will happen. That crying is always, that's always a challenge. You got to go to another. Some people are very good at that. I've seen it.
Yeah, my 10-year-old can cry at the drop of a hat.
Kids are the best.
So what else about this dream role? Would you want to cry? Would you want to laugh? Would you want to be a mathematician? Is there a profession? You know, what is else?
Oh, man.
Flesh this out for us.
Flesh it out. Okay. Mathematician? No, that will not happen. But, you know, a range of that, like, you know, cry, laugh, you know, show being able to I want to make you feel. Basically, I want the audience to be able to know what it is that I'm feeling at that moment and see it, you know, hopefully without having to.
You're a real artist.
Thank you. that's basically like what I look for in movies or when I look at certain actors is, you know, are they communicating that moment to me? And it could be anything. They don't have to say it, but if you see it in their eyes, then I know what they're feeling, you know, and that's I'm constantly trying to work on that. I'm being able to maximize my communication internally so that you as an audience can see what it is that I'm going through and believe that moment. Because you can tell in a second when an actor doesn't believe what they're doing. You see it instantly, and it's one of those things that I'm always trying to constantly be aware of and constantly try to work on.
So who are your idols? Who are the actors that you really respect? Who do you try to learn from?
I try to learn from everyone. I think everyone has everyone has something different on, but I think growing up, I was, you know, you've got your male actors, you've got, you know, the Denzels and, you know, the big times, the Anthony Hopkins, the Meryl Streeps, all those guys. I like looking at a lot of character actors, guys that aren't necessarily the superstars, but they're in everything. They play every role, and I just love seeing how they can transform from one thing to the next. And that's one of those things where, like, I try to pay attention to, like to see their range, you know, and I can't pin down someone that I really, 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 really
Is there a movie you've seen or an independent film or on TV, someone playing a role and you said, wow, I really wish I could have played that role. I could have rocked that role.
Oh God. That does happen. I finished what was it that I auditioned for? I auditioned for something on Daredevil, and a role that I auditioned for. I saw it, you know. This is my ego talking. But when I watched it, I'm like, I could have done, you know, a whole different thing with that one. But you know, it is what it is. You know, it's one of those things where like I'm very grateful to be getting these opportunities because there was a time where I didn't get anything, you know. So just the fact that I'm able to audition for these great shows and then hopefully get cast in them. I'm excited, you know, so every day, you know, whenever my agent calls me or lets me know that something is coming up or I'm going in there, like, you know, ready to kill that role, you know, whether I get it or not, you know, I'm going in. When I get it, I'm even happier, you know.
Well, you and I had talked about, this goes back to persistence, and you say you're so happy that you're getting these opportunities to audition because there was a time when you didn't. And you and I talked about the mistake that sometimes people make of dropping the ball for a little while. Yeah. So did you want to just talk about that a little?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's something that I let happen once and I learned my lesson. And this was probably, you know, like 2003, 2004. I was doing, you know, for myself, I didn't have an agent or anything like that, but I was booking a lot of theater, a lot of independent films at the time. And I got a little cocky. You know, I was like, okay, you know, I'm doing well. I'm keeping busy. You know, I'm working. I'm going to take a month off and not audition for anything. Worst mistake I ever made. I didn't book anything for maybe another 7 or 8 months.
Oof.
Just because I took that time off and I just basically got overconfident. I thought that the roles were just going to still be there for me when I came back from my little, you know, hiatus or little mental, you know, break. And it's one of those things where, like, you have to constantly be working. Even when you're working on something, either you're working on your own stuff or you're still auditioning. So there's never a time where you really take a break.
It's hustle every minute.
It's a hustle every minute, you know, especially for independent, like yourself, independent artists, where, you know, until we get to where we need to be, we have to keep working. And even when you get there, you still have to keep working. Because all those guys that, you know, like the B.B. Newworths, the, you know, you got the Ruben Santiago Hudson, good friend of mine, great actor. These guys hustle all the time. They don't stop, you know. And just when you see their level of success and what they've been able to accomplish with that, I realize that I still have way more to go. You know, I'm trying to look up to these guys so that I can keep things moving. You know, and that's when for me, that's when the opportunities come. Is like what we were saying earlier. You don't want to lose that momentum.
Right.
Once you get that momentum, you want to build it back up and keep it rolling.
Yeah, that's what I found. Is that once there's a little momentum in my career, I have to keep it going and figure out a way to intensify the momentum even.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with that.
So what does it take to become successful in your industry?
What does it take to become successful in my Yeah, for the persistence, you know, I mean, basically, there's being constantly working on your craft, you know, constantly working. And that's more, and when I say your craft, I refer more to your mental game, saying that you're, you know, staying mentally strong so that you can constantly put yourself out there, you know, regardless of whatever happens, and keep the drive going, you know.
So did you ever go into an audition and get really insulted, and then you have that in the back of your mind that someday when you're famous, you'll come back, you know, like in that movie Pretty Woman, when Julia Roberts couldn't get those people to wait on her in the store, and then she goes back to the lady and says, "Remember me? Big mistake."
I don't know if I have something like that, but I do have a moment where I went in and, again, overconfident, walked into an audition, completely bombed it. I mean, it was so bad that the casting director basically looked at me like I had never acted in my life and just was like, what is this guy doing here? And it was one of those moments where I was like, fuck, am I supposed to still be an actor? Like, I just lost all my training in like 1 minute. And completely bombed what I did. And I had a moment where I thought to myself, is this really for me? You know, and I had to, like, you know, regroup, you know, mentally after I left the audition. And I was like, okay, it was just a bad day. You'll be fine.
Yeah, did you regroup? What did you say to yourself to get yourself back in the, you know, in that mindset where you can put yourself online again the next day and maybe bomb again?
Right. Well, yes. I just remembered why I love what I do. That's the main thing. Is just I know how it would feel if I wasn't performing, and that's worse than actually not putting myself out there, you know, so that I didn't want to feel. And that's where I was talking about the panic attack that I had earlier, that I was telling you about earlier. I was feeling empty because I wasn't performing, and I know how it feels to, like, not be doing what is part of you, you know. And so that's how I was able to regroup and get myself, all right, calm down. You're gonna be fine. You just had a bad day, a really bad day. You'll be okay. You're not gonna die.
So, do you ever have like a fantasy, like someday that casting director will see you on the big screen and you'll be nailing a role and it'll be awesome, and that casting director will be like, okay, so he can act.
If that casting director even remembers me, but you know, so you know, it is what it is. I'm sure they've seen me and didn't realize that I auditioned for them. Now, this was years ago, but I'm sure that person's already seen me on the screen. So there's my revenge has already been cast. Yeah.
So what validates you that keeps you going?
What validates me? The fact that I'm booking these roles, the fact that one of the things we didn't talk about this yet, but, the big process for an actor is building relationships, you know, whether it's in the casting world, among, you know, directors and producers and casting agents and among fellow actors. And I'm validated that I've been able to build these relationships and show that I can deliver the goods.
So how do you do that? How did you learn they were important?
So I learned how to, it's a time thing. You have to constantly be in front of these people all the time. You know, so the more, it just took years for them to constantly see me, years of doing great auditions so that I, you know, many times I'm getting cast without having to audition, which is a great thing. But that's because they know that that if they hire me, I'm good to go. You know, it's just, again, the same thing, coming in positive, making sure you're saying, you know, you're greeting everybody, you're saying hello to every single person in there. You're coming in, having a great audition, leaving a, you know, you want to leave a room where everybody feels good, you know, God willing. And that's basically how I built, over the years, built my relationships with casting directors and with producers and directors, and just, you know, show them that I can do the work, you know, that I'm ready for it.
So they might have seen you 20 or 50 times and you nailed so many of these auditions, and then they heard good reports when you were cast that you showed up on time, you performed, what you weren't a pain in the ass, and then that's...
I mean, yeah, that's part of it. As long as you're not an asshole on set, you're good, because that's one thing. If you, and I've heard, and this has happened before, people that have, you know, gotten cast for something, they've been terrible on set, and it goes back to the casting person. And it makes it less likely for them to even call them back in for something else. So you, even on set, you're saying hello to everybody. You're being positive with everyone, you know, and you're doing your work. You're being professional. It's a big process. It isn't really, when it comes to acting, a lot of times we forget that it's not about us. You know, whenever there's a big, and this is what I learned as a producer, everybody is important. From down to the production assistant, down to the gaffer, down to the you know, the best boy, the director, the guy who's holding the, everybody who's trying to make you look good on screen, they're doing a lot of work. So you have to respect their process as well. And they know if an actor is being an asshole or is being, you know, standoffish or is like not respecting the work that they do. And it's a small world. Things go around quickly, you know. So I try to, you know, build, you know, relationships with as many people as I can, you know, depending on the time that I have. And just, I try to respect what they do, you know, because what they do is a lot of hard work. And a lot of these guys, they work, you know, 14, 16 hour days. Oof. It's crazy, you know. And it's, you know, I might only have worked like 2 or 3 hours and I'm done, but they still got to stay on set, move equipment, you know, get ready for the next shot, get ready for the next scene. And so my work, as long as I do it as, you know, to the highest level of my ability and I make their job easier, they love me, you know. And that's, you know, if you get things done in 2 or 3 takes or, you know, even less, that you just made their day, because now they can move on to the next thing and then hopefully move on, you know, to finish the project, you know, as quickly as possible. It's all a time game. There's no time when it comes to these projects, or whether it's television or film or theater. You want to get things done as efficiently as possible, you know. If that answers your question, I think.
That's a lot. So I'm just thinking about we have like 7 minutes left. I'm just thinking over the interview, that kind of the things you've said that have made you successful:
right.
Patience, practice, persistence, following your intuitive lead. And now you're talking about building relationships and leaving a good impression behind, building a good
right.
reputation for yourself as
right.
someone who is professional, shows up on time,
mm-hmm.
Gets the job done efficiently and is pleasant to work with. And are there any other advice you'd give to aspiring actors? Any other tips?
To keep the faith, you know, and stay and believe in yourself. I think that's the main thing, is like believing that you have the goods to deliver, that you can do the work. You know, a lot of times I've had friends that have, you know, that have not been able to be confident with themselves in terms of like their ability. And I've seen a lot of phenomenal actors, but their confidence wasn't where it should be for them to continue pursuing, you know, that goal.
And by pursuing, I mean getting up every day, going to 10 auditions,
exactly.
taking the rejections with a good attitude, getting up next morning, taking the next 10 rejections.
Exactly. Just that kind of thing. It's a working man's job. It's a 9-to-5. You know, you have to get up in the morning early. You have to prepare. You have to do your homework. You know, all the things that we, you know, we were supposed to do as kids, you have to keep that going. You have to keep building that discipline for yourself. A lot of these guys that we see on screen, they are disciplined. You know, there are very few that, like, got it just like that. But I'll say 90% are working on their stuff every day. They're constantly reading. They're constantly working on different characters. They're constantly, you know, improving their craft. You know, and that's basically what I would say for someone who's, you know, getting started, to stay positive. Be specific about the things that you need to work on, you know, for yourself, and how to present, how to become better on screen, how to become better in theater or on stage, how to become better at show auditions. Like, what are the things that you need to work on, you know, with your personality, with your, you know, your life, like, you know, certain, you know, whether it's personality or just your relationships, like things that'll help you grow as a person, and that will help inform you as an actor once you get to those, you know, roles that are gonna require you to pull things from yourself to make that, you know, audience member or the casting director or whoever, make them believe, you know, that you are that person.
So if you could go back and speak to yourself in 99, right after that panic attack, what would you say? What piece of advice would you give yourself?
You're about to do the right thing. That would be the, like you said, being intuitive. Like, once I realized what that was, I knew what I had to do. And I have not had a panic attack since that moment. Once I knew exactly what it was that I wanted to do, I was able to focus all my energy I felt like my purpose became, you know, was manifesting itself right there. You know, and that's when I knew, okay, I'm doing the right thing. And it was definitely, you know, being, you know, moving to a new town by myself and, like, you know, just kind of stepping out of my comfort
scary,
zone.
Yeah.
It's a little scary. You know,
yeah, stepping out of your comfort zone.
This is what I see every day, where I see actors that are not from New York coming in from all over the, you know, the country, the world, and they're coming in here and they're killing it. And I'm like, I'm a New York actor. Like, this is my home. I have to succeed. You know, people are coming in and they're making it happen.
All right, so we're winding down, and I want you to tell people where they can find you, everywhere they can find you, any films, anything. Just tell them everywhere they can find you.
So if you go to, if you type in my name, Alexis Suarez, on IMDb, you'll see, like, a majority of my film work and television work. So any of the films that are there, you can find on Amazon, on Netflix. The television roles, you know, you can – what would it be?
Madam Secretary.
Right, all that stuff. You know, it's I want to say DVR. Oh my God.
Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix. Yeah, you could find anything that's like previous Hulu, all that stuff. Right. Whatever mediums are out there, you can find
them. And then your 3P Productions. Up there.
3P's production is again 3PsProductions.org, and there you'll find what we currently have on tap that we're developing, and those short films as well.
Facebook.
Oh, sorry. And also, you could find me on Facebook. I have a page on Facebook, Alexis Suarez, and it's my headshot. There's another page that has me. It's me at 5 with missing teeth. That's not that page. The other page. The page where you
yes,
see.
Yes, but that's adorable. That's an adorable page. And if people want to email you, they should reach out. How?
You can find me through that website, through the 3psproductions.org website, and any email you send there will come directly to me.
Alexis, thank you. You're amazing.
Thank you, Tracy.
And I just want to tell everyone how talented you are, and amazing and a wonderful human being, some intelligent, brilliant human being as well. And I want to
I hope I was able to, you know, shed some light, hopefully, on my process and what, you know, what a lot of people go through every day as an actor, especially in the city.
I think you were amazing. I think you had a lot to say, and it was all incredibly articulate. I mean, you're an amazing guest, so thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really grateful. And to everyone who's listening, thanks so much for joining us, and please come back next week at 1 p.m. to hear Tracy Gray, the founder and president of the Sankofa Global Project, which is an educational organization that supports underrepresented students by introducing them as they venture into the fields of science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And so today we were talking to Alexis Suarez, and you can find him on Facebook and IMDb. Thanks so much. Come back next week.
This has been Tracy L. Slatin on the Independent Artists and Thinkers Network. Thanks for joining us. Come back next week.